The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
People on the Talk Radio Twitter feed defending Donald Trump's racism. I get to see all the tweets here that come up. And he told them to come back, you clown. If people hate the country and constantly talk it down, then it's legitimate to question why they're there.
But they were born there.
Only apart three of from them were, one. But they're black. So their roots must be from elsewhere.
So let's get this straight. Okay, so three of them were born there.
Yeah.
The other one, the one that he's really targeting and the one they were chanting, send her back, has been there since she was a tiny little girl and has risen through the ranks and has made it her home, but also taken such an interest in the welfare of the people of the United States that she became a senator. Was that her mistake?
Here's the thing, you can't, listen, all right, I'm going to come out on a limb and I'm going to say it, right? If you're defending Donald Trump's racism, you're a racist. You're a racist. That can be the only excuse that you would defend. Well, I know we don't normally do this kind of stuff in there, but it's just really upset me that the president of America is being defended for what is racist, you know, what is absolute racism. And when America sneezes, Britain catches a cold and we're next and we're going to have a racist, as prime minister next week and a racist who's going to be sucking up to another racist to try and make sure the Tories stay in power. That's where we're at. And it's bleak, man. It's really, really, for us non-racists, for us people that don't care what colour or what culture or where you're from, for us non-racists, these are bleak times. I get it. For racists, it's been bleak times for about 30 years. I get it. It's your turn. But please, let us non-racists be a little bit upset the way things are going, guys. I beg of thee. Please. If you defend Donald Trump and what he said, you're a racist. It's that simple.
Tell you what else is becoming a pattern, and it's happening here, is people like Donald Trump saying stuff and then telling us that he didn't say it,
yeah,
even though it's blatant, it's been recorded, you can see it.
Of course.
And then people who support him saying, yeah, but I don't believe that recording.
Of course, we've got Steve Bannon was caught on tape a couple of weeks ago saying, if you're called a racist, wear it as a badge of honour. Words to that effect, I'm paraphrasing ever so slightly. Nelly, you're getting right on my nerves tonight. Shall I tell you why? We're doing the seven disappointments of the world. He's put Nando's down. This guy's a silly sausage of the heart with a capital P. He's put Nando's down. Is he being ironic? Is it a joke, Catherine? I cannot get my head around seven disappointments of the world. Mona Lisa, Leaning Tower of Pisa, Stonehenge, Nando's?
Can I be controversial?
Go on.
I'm not all that jazzed about Nando's.
All right, well, fine. You've let me buy you plenty of cheeky Nando's.
But it's because
you've let me buy you lots of cheeky Nando's and now you don't like them.
No, it's not that I don't like them. They're all right. But I wouldn't go, oh, tell you what I really fancy.
That's bollocks, because I've actually heard you say those words.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have. Followed by the word Nando's. I've heard you say that.
No.
I have.
No.
You liar. Lies. Fake news.
Wow.
Fake.
Wow.
Fake news.
Hey. Send me back where?
Back to Nando's to see where our order is, as it's taken ages. 0344 499.
Do you remember when we first went to 1, Nando's 000. And they used to announce the chicken was about to arrive?
They
stopped
that.
Doing that,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They come up and say, your food will be here shortly.
They send a little trumpeter.
I think cutbacks. No, I love a chicken. I will not hear a word said against it. Let's go to Penny. Good evening, Penny.
Good evening, Ian.
Hello, Penny. What can we do for you tonight?
I'm glad you're back, and I've noticed you've been off for a week.
No, I haven't.
Feeling better.
I was off yesterday.
Okay, well, if I'm honest, I only listened for one night.
Well, then there you go. Then don't say, I noticed you've been off for a week when I've only been off for one night, you absolute prune.
I think you've been off for a week, Penny.
Yeah, I've noticed I've been off for a week, but no one would notice that,
no.
So
I was only off last night. I was not great, but Catherine did an excellent job last night.
I was
chuckling a lot in bed listening to her.
She was fantastic.
She's the
it
best.
Had a very calming and soothing feel.
Yeah. Which is ironic because when I work with her, I get nothing but hassle.
Aggravation.
Yeah. aggravaziani, as they say in Italy. So listening to her, it was a real revelation that under...
She was speaking to someone who was quite intoxicated, and I, Catherine, I thought you were quite amazing because you just said you're not very clear. Instead of saying, you know, you're incredibly drunk.
No, they weren't intoxicated. It was Mark, and he just was holding his phone all wrong, so he rang us back on a better line. He can't be intoxicated. He was looking after a load of disabled people.
Well, I don't know.
Not Miss Hannigan.
Well, I admired it anyway, whatever, you know.
I take your admiration and I'll shine it up.
What can we do for you this evening, Penny?
Well, I thought you said... You were talking about baking, so I thought, well, why hasn't anyone mentioned baking powder? And then I said to my husband, he said, no, they said bacon. And I said, oh, right, okay, well, I've already phoned now.
Well, can you get bacon powder? What's that bacon that you can get?
Bacon salt.
It sounds like something, but I think I've made it up. But I have come across another, whilst thinking, contemplating upon this.
Okay.
Also, just quickly say, it's just passed, but yesterday, as in the 19th of July, was my husband's 46th birthday.
Wow, same age as me at last. I've been waiting for him to catch up. Now we can party!
He is a wonderful, wonderful man.
We can party! The 46-year-old posse! Party!
Party in your slippers.
That's it, man. I love my slippers so much.
Living the dream.
I love my slippers so much. They're the best, aren't they?
Slippers up. We need support at this age. You know, you can't be dancing.
My mum bought me when I was 20 and I moved, 24 maybe, I moved into my first place that I was renting, I don't know, whatever, 23, I don't know. You don't get them anymore because they're a real pain in the ass, but they're great. A foot spa.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love a faff to set up, but I would sit there and watch telly with my foot spa and a little bit of Radox in there. Oh, it's bliss.
Even a dream.
Oh, it's bliss.
You know what you can get these days?
Lost.
What? No, you can get, knotted. You know that bowl out of your sink? Fill that up with soapy water and stick your feet in that.
But it doesn't vibrate. Foot spa vibrates.
Okay, well, you have to bring your own vibrations.
Well, you put in a love stick. Don't want to say dildo.
An electric silly sausage.
I didn't want to say dildo.
You didn't want to say it, but you said it twice.
Okay, I'm not going to say dildo a third time. Penny, can I ask you a personal question, please, while I suck on water?
I would be honoured, flattered.
No, it wasn't that. No.
Oh, sorry.
What's your thing?
My thing this evening is about bacon.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, you know, what's your thing?
What about my thing for people?
What's your thing that gets you going?
Deeply awkward, inappropriate, rude people, really.
What, like Mr. Bean?
No, not like
not
like
rude.
A kind of pantomime, but more sort of like David Brent, sort of.
Oh, you mean like a Ricky Gervais, Frankie Boyle?
Yeah, but maybe like slightly less intelligent.
So you like thick, awkward men who say inappropriate things. That gets you horny, does it?
No, what gets me horny is I don't like that word. Okay. What gets me?
Moistens?
That's worse. No. Okay.
What makes your libido jingle?
Yes. Yes. That sounds more like.
How do you know what car she drives?
A Nissan Libido. Oh, blimey.
So what makes your Ribena jingle? I don't know the words you're using.
But I know what you mean. A sort of mixture of someone who's arrogant, a bit of a bully, and quite argumentative.
Like Piers Morgan?
Oh, no, not...
that's why he's so popular.
I don't know. I fell in love with my husband at first sight, and the reason was
he told you to F off.
No, it's because I had never met anyone bossier in my life.
Oh right, I get you.
Oh, and so you're the sub in the bedroom, and he's the dominant.
No, what
get
was
upstairs,
funny
Penny,
is
get
that
upstairs, Penny.
He didn't realise, because he was an only child and I was came from a large family,
right,
is that as he was bossing me around, I was completely ignoring him, because why would I take any notice of him? But I just found it intriguing that anyone would continue to boss someone around while they weren't doing it.
Wow, yeah. What, that was strange. So, like Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah, but I would just laugh in his face. But I do like to be around that level of energy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's sparky. Oh.
Yeah, I don't really want to, you know, I might sort of poke them a bit if they're not too annoyed, you know. I might think, I could annoy you a little bit, make you a little bit.
So you give as good as you can get, but you respect the bully.
Oh, not the, oh.
Wait, put your other hand in the air. I want to see the other hand, please.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
My first boyfriend, I loathed. I thought he was the most arrogant person I'd ever met in my life. And then it kind of flipped, and it turns out I quite like really difficult people.
Yeah, I do.
Because it's more rewarding to tame them.
Yeah, and also it's quite funny how many people they just sort of generally, you know, that like my husband will have some quite sort of intense arguments over some very small things with other people.
Oh, wow.
And I love that.
Do you? Do you not get embarrassed?
Oh, not normally when I'm there, normally when he's at work.
All right, okay. So you like hearing about it?
No, he wouldn't, like, cause a big scene, or he wouldn't, or anything like that. But, I mean, if he would... No, I wouldn't get embarrassed. Oh, no, I'm proud. Proud. I'm like, no, he's with me. No, yeah, brilliant. Not no, it. Proud.
Okay, proud.
Yeah.
All right, Penny, thanks for your call.
You're welcome, and I'm glad you're better and you haven't been off all week.
I'm glad I wasn't off for a week. I couldn't afford it. We'll speak again soon, Penny. Thanks very much.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000. You've been off for a week. No, I haven't.
She has.
This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We'll get Sam in a bit to get our latest update on Tinder, the show being on Tinder. Let's see where we're going with that. Before that, let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul.
How you doing, mate? All right.
Very, sure. Very well, Paul. What can we do for you this
thanks
evening?
Thanks for taking the call anyway.
It's a phone show. Listen, it's what we do.
Yeah, I know. You've changed a bit, mate. You've changed. It's all changed. I can't believe you just called... You've named our new Prime Minister as a racist. I want your response.
Well, I'm waiting for something I can respond to.
Well, you've called him a racist.
Yes.
You've called Boris Johnson a racist.
Yes, I have, yes.
Yeah, so prove it then. What's he said?
Pickaninnies, watermelon smiles.
No, absolutely... Disgusting, mate.
Sorry?
I've got to say it.
It is disgusting. It's disgusting language for a Prime Minister to use about people of race and colour, yeah. I'm glad you agree.
Tell me what he said that's racist, then.
I did just start telling you, Paul, and then you rudely interrupted me.
No, I didn't rudely interrupt you. My phone cut off for some reason. I'm sorry about that.
You what, sorry?
My phone's cut off. I'm sorry about my phone cutting off.
Okay.
Please, must be delay on the phone. Or someone's got to delay me.
The delay on your brain.
I like it, glass. Yeah. Right, so you've told the country, I love this station, I love this radio station, I like you, I think you're great, but to call the next Prime Minister racist, please
why does it upset you so much that I've called Boris Johnson a racist? Why does it upset you so much?
Because he's not.
Tell me why he's not.
Tell me why he is.
Okay. It upsets you so... So if I were to say Catherine's a racist, would you be equally upset?
Oh.
Catherine.
I don't know who she is.
That's me.
She's the lady that produces and hosts the show with me.
That you love, apparently.
Right. I'm sorry, but hello. No, I don't.
Hello?
Hello, how are you doing? But please tell me,
Okay. If I were to say that Catherine is a racist, would you be as angry as you are about Boris Johnson? Catherine isn't a racist. You've said that you're upset that I've called Boris Johnson a racist because he isn't, but you're not upset when I call Catherine a racist and she isn't. So again, I asked the question, why are you so upset that I've called Boris Johnson a racist?
Because you're just turning it round now. I don't listen to you all the time. But what you're saying...
Why are you upset that I've called Boris Johnson a racist?
Because he's not.
Right, Catherine's not a racist, but you're not upset when I call her a racist.
I never had to call her that.
I'm calling her it now. Catherine, you're a racist.
Gosh.
Well, I'm upset then, yeah.
Okay, well, there's the consistency that we were missing before.
So you can't answer the question then?
I can answer the question, but I just don't see what the point is.
Why are you calling Boris Johnson? Tell me what he said that's racist.
Pickaninnies, watermelon smiles... letterboxes.
A letterbox is not racist.
Letterboxes and bank robbers. Now, if you don't think...
You have to take your helmet off when you go into a Tesco's, mate.
Sorry?
You have to take your helmet off when you go to Tesco's.
You're a helmet.
Paul, are you bothered about how long my skirt is or what I'm wearing?
Nope.
Why are you bothered about what they're wearing?
Exactly.
Well, no.
You're not bothered then?
So you're not bothered about what Muslim women sometimes wear?
No. Nope.
But he can poke fun at them and that's fine?
Exactly.
All right, okay. Paul. And you don't think calling black people, describing black people as having watermelon smiles is racist?
What the hell are you talking about?
But when Boris Johnson described black people as pickaninnies and said they had watermelon smiles, you don't think that's racist?
No, not at all.
Do you understand the... Maybe you're not a racist. I'm still erring on the side that you're not a racist and you don't get...
No way. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that you're not. And maybe...
I'm not.
Well, I'm hoping that you're not. And maybe you don't understand the connection between... people of colour, black people, and how describing them as watermelon eaters, eating the watermelon, having watermelon smiles, maybe you don't understand why that is racist.
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, let me tell you now. It is racist to say that black people have watermelon smiles. It was kind of a big thing a long time ago to assume that black people only ate watermelons and that they would eat watermelons and they would smile and they'd have the seed stuck in their teeth and stuff like that. So it is a racist term. Catherine?
He also suggested that, in a poem he wrote about the Turkish president, Erdogan, that he sowed his wild oats with the help of a goat.
Which is a racist thing.
I don't understand about that.
Well, we're explaining it to you.
Yeah, but I don't say that's right.
Well, it is. Trust us. Listen, you're talking to two very...
You're telling me something.
Yes, that is factually correct.
From your point of view.
Yeah, we're telling you a factually correct thing.
Yeah.
Pickaninnies. Do you know what pickaninnies means?
I don't know.
I'll tell you.
Come on, mate.
I'll tell you.
He's not racist.
Paul, I'm giving you examples.
It's as if you don't want to hear it, Paul.
I'm giving you... He said something along the lines of, the Queen would visit various countries in the Commonwealth and would be waved at by pickaninnies. Now, the definition of pickaninny, it's a North American historical racial slur which refers to a dark-skinned child of African descent.
Right.
It's a racist slur. So now, this is a pivotal moment in your life, Paul.
Yeah.
Now, with all of the information and the facts that prove what he has said in those instances is racist, don't answer yet, Paul. This is a pivotal moment in your life. If you now say, yes, those things are racist, okay. If you carry on to defend him for saying those things and say they're not racist, with the knowledge of what those things mean, then Paul, I hate to break it to you, but you'll be a racist too. So what's it going to be? Racist or non-racist? Do you defend Boris Johnson for what he said there? Or do you say that what he said was racist?
Yeah, Yes, it was.
Thanks very much for your call, Paul. We didn't need the but. We didn't need the but there. We got away with it. So you're agreeing. You're agreeing that Boris Johnson is racist.
No, I don't.
But you just said that what he said was racist.
No, I didn't, because you put it into my mind.
No, you just said that those things, with all the information, they're racist.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. The sigh of, yeah, I suppose so. Well done, Paul. That was a big moment. That was a big moment, Paul. It could have gone one way or the other. And he's admitted that Boris Johnson is a racist, and he's going to stop defending him. That's great. Now he's got the evidence. That's great. Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate that. Let's go to our friend Rhythmic Paul. Good evening, Paul.
Hello, yes. Well,
hello, yes. Welcome.
Yeah, my namesake, who you've just let go, is the reason why I called. Because I mean, you know, as I was listening to him speak before you stole my thunder, the question I wanted was, you know, what does it take for someone to be actually acknowledged as a racist? In today's particularly pungent environment, what does it take? Because, you know, we have both prospective candidates for the British Prime Minister failing to go to cross the line and say, yes, well, you know, under any other circumstance, well, no, actually just to say, yes, what I heard from the President of the United States can only be categorized as racist.
They wouldn't call him out as a racist because of money. That was it. That was the reason.
Yeah.
They wouldn't call him out as a racist because they didn't want to lose trade because they know that we're screwed.
Which is exactly how Donald Trump has grown up, being able to say whatever he wants because money talks.
Yeah. The reason for many.
Paul, listen, I'm a white, middle-aged guy. You know, the world's always been pretty good to me. You're a black guy. When you see, and I'm really upset by what is going on with Donald Trump and what is going on with Boris Johnson and all of that in terms of race. Yeah. But as how do I phrase this without sounding like a dick? I can't really. As a black man, it's not a great way to start a question, but it's late. Fine. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you viewed the world at the moment, the leaders of the free world at the moment, and the direction that we seem to be speeding in.
I think to say that I'm petrified might well be understating it.
Wow, really, that much?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, with Brexit and everything that's going on, myself and my wife, who is of Asian origin, we have discussed it already, and, you know, if the SH1T hits the proverbial, we're leaving to Korea.
Right.
I mean, you know, I will not hesitate to do that.
Yeah.
Because, yes, there is racism there, but the way, you know, the stuff that I've seen, the stuff that I've heard about, fortunately had very little of it come my way in recent times, but a horribly, horrifyingly toxic environment is growing and being nurtured, and the fact that world leaders find themselves unable to condemn it openly is, I think, possibly the largest problem, other than the source material itself.
The next prime minister of your country couldn't call it out. You know, and you just think, Jesus, everything now, we're in a world of likes and retweets, right? Everything is the number of likes you get, and that can be posting a picture of your dinner to getting votes to be to be the leader of the Tory party. It's all about the number of likes and treading that line where you say stuff that offends the right number of people but also gets a bigger number of people on your side. And we're screwed, Paul. We're screwed. I don't see anything that we could do to change it. And you'd say that you're petrified by the way it's going. That breaks my heart, man.
One of the canaries in the coal mine for me is when you go online and you've got younger kids, and I'm talking like 14, 15-year-olds, throwing the N-word around. That was an old-fashioned word when we were growing up. We thought that we were the last generation that were going to have to deal with that.
10 years ago, we'd do phone-in shows, and you'd have had this, Kath, and people would say, well, the thing is, I can't really say what I want to say on here because I'll just get cut off. And you know that it was something racist, racist or something. And I would always say, you can say it, but you'll get challenged. And people would say it. It was generally about Muslims being scumbags. That was generally it. And then, and they were the good old days. And then someone undid the bolt. And now when people go, oh, I can't really say what I want to say because I'll get called a racist. That's gone. That barrier's gone. And now people will say what they really want to say. Here's the thing. Yep. Political correctness. I know it was annoying. Actually, it was great. And we're all going to miss it now that it's gone because political correctness was basically there to protect minorities of whatever reason they were a minority. It was there to protect you. You can't go around bandying the M word and the P word and say, call someone a cripple and all of that stuff. That's what it did. And that's gone. You know, the fact that here's what I knew we were really screwed, Paul. It was 4 years ago when Trump was running for president and he did, he took the mickey out of that disabled reporter.
Yep.
And he did the thing where he put his hands, like we used to do as kids. I did it when I was 10. He did that thing where he put his hands together and clapped and he pulled what we used to call a blem, where he put his tongue in his, and did that face and that. And I saw his likability in the polls go up and I thought, well, that's it. That's game over.
Yep.
Anyone else, two years before that would have gotten pulled. He went up in the popularity. I thought, that's it. We're done. We're in a new era of politics.
Yeah. There is no longer accountability for that which is said. And the power of the word is both extraordinarily mighty and insignificant simultaneously. But in the political arena, the word is everything.
Mm.
And if you cannot be challenged and held accountable for that which you say, that there is nothing else.
I heard someone saying about Donald Trump, and I think it can apply to what's going on here as well, is that the people that vote for him might not agree with everything he does, but they hate the same things he does.
Mm. And also, he's made it acceptable now to go up to black people in the street. Go on, you're going to go home then. He's made it acceptable in his country, in a country that has guns, and he's also made it accept people defending him, people doing phone-ins. Is what President Trump said racist? And the fact they're even asking that question, instead of everyone coming out and going, that racist idiot, it means you can legitimately go up to a person of colour in this country. Go on then, you're going home.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's go to Babs. Good evening, Babs.
Hello.
Hello, Babs. that's exactly how I imagine a Babs would laugh. Naughty.
Yes. I did tweet you ages and ages ago.
Oh, I remember.
You were talking about Monty Python, and it just reminded me Monty Python's Eric the Bee song is the reason I called as Little Dog Eric.
Eric the Half a Bee? Did you call and we played it, didn't we?
I tweeted you.
And I played it. Did I?
Well, you played it and I tweeted you.
I played it first. You tweeted me. This was about a year ago?
Oh, bloody hell. I've been listening to you since you started on Talk Radio.
Okay. So this is maybe two or three years ago.
I've got to talk to you.
Well, we don't make it that hard for
you.
We're
really not fussy, Babs.
No, we won't. we take phone calls 15 hours a week.
I know. I listen every night. All 3 hours,
well,
every night.
May God bless you for that. Thank you very much indeed. The Eric the Half a Bee song is an absolute joy. If no one's heard it, I might play it again in a bit. It's only 30 seconds long.
And you've also played a bit, played this song on the radio as well.
Yeah, from the Contractual Obligation album, which is a great record. Yeah. I think I also played the John Denver, You Came On My Pillow. I think I played that once. That got taken off later releases of that record. John Denver, surprisingly, threatened to sue.
Yeah, I didn't have it on my copy.
Oh, I had it on mine that I got for Christmas when I was 14 years old. What an album. What an album. What, are you in Cyprus?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Your arse. What are you doing in Cyprus?
I live here now.
Well, come back. Oh, hang on a minute. The Iranian tanker was near Cyprus, wasn't it? Right. Well, let's go to our Iranian tanker correspondent. It's Babs in Cyprus. Babs, what's the latest on the Iran situation?
I've no idea.
Oh, you mean you can't tell the difference between the regime of Ayatollah Khomeini and Khamenei?
Hang on a second. Hang on. Let's do this properly.
What?
It's time now to get an update from our Iran correspondent,
Babs.
Babs, what's the latest in Iran?
No idea.
That was an update from the Iran correspondent.
Babs. That was the most accurate appraisal of the situation
I've
heard.
I don't think anyone has any idea what's going on, to be honest.
No one's got a clue. No one's got a clue.
We're actually nearer to Syria.
Have you ever been bummed by a monkey?
What?
Don't they have horny monkeys in Cyprus?
No, it's Gibraltar.
Not in Cyprus, no. We have lots
cats.
Of donkeys and what are they called? Mouflons.
Mouflons.
Like a goaty type thing, yeah.
Oh.
You've got a lot of cats there?
Hang on a minute. Wasn't the Iranian boat captured near Gibraltar then?
No idea.
Well, hang on a minute. I was confusing Cyprus and Gibraltar.
Yeah. Gibraltar.
So she's a fraud!
Well, I told you about the monkey thing being Gibraltar.
Well, this is why I put two and two together and I've worked out that Babs is a fraud.
Wow.
She's like, not an infidel. She's,
The
other thing. She's an abacus.
A ringer.
I have no idea. I'm sure it's wonderful. But she is... Babs will have some Johnnies. Babs... Any songs with Johnny's
one's
in?
One's already gone.
Yeah.
I did think of the Fine Young Cannibals one, but that's gone.
That's gone.
Used.
But, yeah. I've got two.
Two left.
Unused.
Yeah, go on.
But Dear John, Status Quo.
Right, well, that goes in the John section, so that now takes the Johns up to five, yeah. The Johnnies are on six.
And I think... You were talking about it the other week, actually. I'm surprised you didn't remember it. Hazy Fantasy. What was the song about Big John... Bow-legged John Wayne, or whatever it was called.
I remember Hazy Fantasy, because she had the funny hair, didn't she?
Yeah, a bit like the one out of Thompson Twins.
Yeah, like the one... Yes, exactly. In fact, when I was a kid,
yeah.
I thought they were the same person. Here we go. Hazy Fantasy. Yeah. John Wayne is big leggy. All right. I don't remember this. We'll have a little listen to this. Hazy Fantasy. I never thought I'd be saying those words again. Here we go. But this is the thing. People say the 80s were great. There was also a Hazy Fantasy. It's got to be said.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing, Babs. Me and Catherine, right, we're just thinking at the moment. It's just a little thought thing. By the way, the book is coming on.
It hurt.
Sorry?
Sorry, I always say that.
Outrageous. We are thinking of releasing... I want to put my 7 inches... I want as many people to get their hands on my 7 inches as possible. Would you be, if I gave you the opportunity, Catherine, I'm not saying black, and I could do.
What?
Because it's a record I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I could make it worse. Mm. If we released...
Would you be interested in his 7-inch?
What if he got it out?
I want to release like my 7 inches.
He's going to be spreading it as far and wide as he can.
Would you pay £10 to have a spin on my 7-inch? Yep.
There we go. The dog is on pervola and it's
See, look,
quite right.
Set Eric off now. Security dog.
I'm going to take that as a yes, Babs. Thank you very much indeed. So we're thinking of putting out a record, right? But here's the thing: we've got loads of calls. We've got Chris, Josh, Ray, Sandra, Dave coming to you. But we're thinking of putting out a record, like a 7-inch record, a vinyl single, right? And we're not sure what would be on it. We kind of think the B-side would just be a Pradeep. Competition between me and you, right? And I'm thinking on the A side, we've got to put a song on there.
Yeah.
It's got to be a song.
Maybe some ASMR.
Sorry?
Some ASMR.
Well, it's got to be a song. It's got to be something people can hear.
I can do it quietly.
Well, no, we don't do it quietly. We do
Why
a song. Maybe we just...
There aren't enough ASMR songs.
But here's the thing. We're not doing a quiet song that people can't hear.
Scratch.
Okay. I was thinking we do I Got You, Babe, or something.
Oh? Would there be copyright problems?
Well... What do you mean by problems?
Would Cher be after us?
Well, I mean,
yes.
No, because it's no. Let me speak to my mate Glenn, who works in the music business. I think it would be all right the way we were going to do it. I think it would be all right. It's not a copyright thing. You just got to put money into a fund. You can do covers. People do covers.
Yeah, but don't they have to ask permission? Yes.
It's a little bit great. But here's the thing. To get the minimum order you can get is 250.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking at about 700-800 quid. So you've got to sell, that we'd have to sell something like 80 about a tenner to break even.
This could be the biggest folly yet.
Yeah. We've had some big follies, Catherine. Yeah. Don't do yourself down. We've had some great follies. Belfast, for example. but maybe it's a stretch too far. We'd sign them, obviously. Here's what I'm thinking as well. For the first 100 people that bought, and we'd sell it at events and online, the first 100 people that bought them,
yeah,
we would throw in for free a platinum membership card. A platinum membership card.
Gosh.
There would only be 100. There would never be any more. Platinum membership card. So for your tenner, plus £2.50 postage and packing, you'd be getting, I've priced it all up, a vinyl single in a white plain cover signed by myself and Catherine Boyle, and a platinum membership card. I just think I think we could be onto something.
Let's just leave that dangling.
Very, very special.
I've just seen a tweet here from Rachel saying, walk into my mum's room to give her her meds, and here, have you ever been bummed by a monkey?
I confused Gibraltar with Cyprus. No wonder that week away was so disappointing. Let's go to Sandra. Good evening, Sandra.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Are you in the same city as your phone?
Yes, I am. I'm in Glasgow at the moment.
Oh.
So I'm just seeing KD Lang in concert.
Oh!
She's amazing.
KD Lang. Did she do Constant Craving?
Yes, she did.
Yes,
so love that.
It was the whole of the NGA album she did 25 years ago.
I cannot hear a word that you're saying. It's very muffled. Have you fallen into KD Lang's box?
I'm in Mickey D's getting a wee.
Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Well, why does it sound so awful?
You've got your thumb over the hole.
Because I'm in McDonald's.
I don't think I've made phone calls in McDonald's before and people have been able to understand Listen, Sandra, I'm glad you had a great time. Get home safely. It's not the best line, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you very, very much indeed. KD Lang. Can't... You know, I've ruined it now.
What?
The Rolling Stones did a terrible album called Bridges to Babylon.
Right.
Do you remember that album?
I remember hearing tell of it, yes.
1994, I'm going to guess, right? And they had a song on there that was actually a really good song. And it went a little bit like this. Okay, this is the song. There's a lot of adverts on the old YouTube these days.
I know, it's like they're making money or something.
It's outrageous. I wish I could get some of that.
That album with Constant Craving on it and Miss Chatelaine was brilliant.
Miss Chatelaine?
Miss Chatelaine.
Miss Chatelaine. What?
Hmm?
Here we go. Listen to this. See if you recognise this. You will now. Hang on. This is actually a really good song. Remember, folks, there we go.
Everybody cool out.
I don't want to see the acting.
Oh.
Then she vanished on the breeze. Trying to hold on to that was just impossible.
Possible.
She was more than beautiful, closer to ethereal, with a kind of down-to-earth flavor.
It sounds like Flight of the Conchords taking a piss.
Yep.
Close my eyes.
Wait till we get to the chorus.
Really gone for good. Anybody say my baby?
chorus, right? And then Keith Richards played it to one of his kids, and he went... Constant craving. And Keith Richards went, oh, shit, and they had to put her name on the song.
Did they?
Yeah, they did in the end. They had to put her name on the song because it was such an obvious rip-off of it.
Outrageous.
It is outrageous. Good evening, Simon.
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right, Simon. What have you got for us tonight, please, sir? Thank you.
I've got a couple of things. An idea for your A side of your single.
Here we go. This is it. There we go. George Martin's on the phone.
I'd like to use your talents as a talented songwriter, obviously.
Yeah.
Your last effort, the World Cup, was a fantastic song.
Yep.
About a Christmas single, a new one written by you.
Well, here's the thing. I'm happy to write the song, definitely. I want my mate Boyley on it. I want my mate Boyley on this record. I want you on the record, Boyley. But if you do a Christmas song, that's it, man. It gets played for 5 weeks over Christmas.
Also, you know and I know we're going to have a garage full of these things. And it's
yeah.
We need to have something that's slightly
it's gonna
more
be,
timeless.
It's going to be timeless. That's why I want Boyley on this record. What am I? Okay. I'm paraphrasing. I'm paraphrasing Neil Diamond, Love at the Greek concert, where he gets Henry Winkler up from the audience.
Oh, I'm the
and Henry Winkler sings Song Some Blue as Henry Winkler, and Neil goes, no, 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 I want the fans to sing my song. So, Simon, good suggestion, but no.
I've also got a Johnny song for you.
Yes, thank you.
One of my first tapes I ever bought. Tiffany, and I'm very sure there's an album track called Johnny's Got the Inside Moves.
Well, now, you say you're very sure.
Yeah.
How sure are you? This is not some silly phone-in bluff.
I'm going to go 98%, but you might need to prove it.
Does she say the word Johnny in the song, Johnny's Got the Inside Moves?
Yeah, the chorus.
You're literally just guessing, aren't you?
No, Johnny's Got the Inside Moves. It's in the chorus.
Johnny's Got the Inside Moves by Great. Tiffany. I'm going to take your word for it because it sounds absolutely atrocious. Johnny is on there. Johnny is leading 7. We've got 5 Johns, 4 Marys, 3 Valeries. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Josh. Good evening, Josh.
All I've got is Johnny Remember Me.
You mean one of the first songs that we listed?
Oh, fuck up and on.
Whoa! What did he say?
Don't know, but it sounded like it was about to be a swear.
No, I dumped it anyway, Johnny. Get out of town. Let's go to our good friend Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, both.
Hello, both.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, you.
I think I thought of one. Johnny Reggae.
Here come Johnny Reggae, Johnny Reggae, Reggae. Of course, it's by a famous celebrity paedophile, but we will still...
I didn't know that. Okay, I do.
Well, it is, isn't it? Hang on a minute.
What do you mean a paedophile?
What do you mean a paedophile? Someone who has...
Who sang that, then?
Let's just check.
It was, King.
It said there was I remember that record, but I don't remember who...
Conceived, created, produced...
Jonathan King.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. All right. I shouldn't have said that.
He'll just write me another letter, as he does from time to time.
Oh, bloody hell. I feel awful now.
No, don't. You mustn't.
Like, I think I better hang up now. I've gone red.
Shut up. Don't go red. Just because you mentioned Jonathan King, these things happen.
Oh.
Right, what can we do for you?
Well, I don't know a lot about records or things.
Okay, or things... Yes.
Well, I just go out now and again.
Yeah.
And ring this radio show up.
Beautiful, and we're grateful for it.
Well, you should be so as well.
I am so, sir.
I know.
As well.
I make a fool of myself now and again.
Okay.
But that's the top me from going out.
This is me being nice. People complain I know, I was too mean. This is me being nice.
I was listening to you.
This is me being nice.
You're quite welcome to hang up on me, Ian.
Thanks, Chris. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the phone number. Let's go to pick one or two, Catherine.
One or two what?
Well, the numbers.
I'll go for one, so I'm not greedy.
Let's go to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. I've got a pack of Johnnies for you.
Here we go. Let's have them. Let's have them.
There was a follow-up to Johnny Be Good called Bye Bye Johnny.
Yes, I knew there was something like that. Okay, is that by Mr. Charles Berry?
New Kid in Town by the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Johnny coming?
Johnny Come Lately, he's a new
Johnny
kid in town.
Johnny Come Lately, there's a new kid in town. Right, to 10 Johnnies, 5 Johns, 4 Marys and 3 Valeries.
Land by Patti Smith, The Boy Looked at Johnny.
Okay, we're getting a little bit...
Is it a Johnny or isn't it a Johnny? Yeah, it's a Johnny.
How many kids are at home now rocking out to Patti Smith? Dear God.
We're going to start with Neil Young then?
Neil Young, on which Neil Young?
Hey, hey, my, my. The king is gone, but he's not forgotten. This is the story of Johnny Rock.
Okay, yep.
And there's a John Lennon one, sort of. There's a Elton John song, the song he wrote about John Lennon after he died.
I didn't know Elton John wrote a song. One night we should just do a special on songs written about John Lennon after he died. That would actually, that's a good show, Dave. That is a show. I mean, it would be the least listened to of all this crap that we put out.
I can think of about three already. Yeah.
All right, hang on a minute. Let's, all right. So, we've got the Paul Simon one.
Late great Johnny Ace.
The late great Johnny Ace, which he's playing in Central Park. The concert he's playing in Central Park a year or 2 years after John Lennon is shot. And as he's playing it, someone jumps up on the stage and grabs him. There's the Paul McCartney one, Here Today. Is it called that?
Here
Today. And if I told you, remember that night we cried and all that stuff. There's the George Harrison one.
All These Years Ago.
All These Years Ago. Go on, what else is there?
There's Not John by Loudon Wainwright III.
Okay, yeah, good old Loudon.
There's a recent Bob Dylan one called Roll On John, which is about all about...
Bob Dylan is dead to me! Next! Move on!
I say the Elton John one is called Empty Garden, Hey Hey Johnny.
Okay,
we'll on his one of his early 80s albums that no one bought.
Ah, yes, the ones that he himself used to cut up huge blocks of cocaine and snort them off. That's when he
did. There may be Giants one as well.
Yeah.
Can't Keep Johnny Down, which is off one of their recent albums.
This is it.
I think.
We're up to 14 Johnnies.
Let's just say there's a definite Johnny preference in
pop. Here's the thing. I don't know if let's focus on...
Mary's.
Mary Mary by the Monkees.
Mary Mary by Run DMC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, When I Find Myself, Let It Be.
Let It Be.
Mary Had a Little Lamb, Macca's great thing.
We're up to 7 Marys. Mary, I love you. Oh, baby. Isn't Mary, I want.
Back to Bon Jovi. Isn't there a Mary in that song? Johnny, isn't there a Mary in that? Living on a Prayer.
You're asking the wrong people about the Bon Jovi songs, because Dave and I have taste.
No. I'm sure you've both been alive while it was on and we can't
Sam,
miss that.
Sam, any Nickelback songs that mention names?
Possibly, but nothing comes straight to mind.
Oh, okay, I thought you were a fan. Sorry. It's
Proud fine. Mary.
Oh, yeah, Proud Mary.
Yep.
Oh, it was Tommy and Gina, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the people my mum and dad went on holiday with in the 70s. Mary, I want... There must be loads of Marys. In the 70s, Mary was Mary. A very popular... Mary, oh, Mary, sweet Mary.
Mary Jane. Hello, Mary Lou.
Hello, that's Mary Lou.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Anything else, David?
Yeah, I was thinking about your 7-inch.
Yeah.
That's another story. Do you know there's a blues record called Big 10-inch Record? If you could sort of make it a bit bigger, then you could do a cover of Big 10-inch Record.
Now, I'm going to play that, because that's safe to play, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All innuendo. Aerosmith
covered it, but it's by Bull Moose Jack.
Here we go. This is great. Here's the thing. I remember when I was working in B-Jams, and my mate Ian, another Ian, brought in a tape of old blues songs, right? And I hate the blues. And he went, no, no, no. listen to it. And it's all
Kitchen
like,
Man's fantastic as well.
It's all like, Bessie, I'm going to the Sea Suckers Ball.
Wow.
And they're all from like the 20s. And you're, every generation thinks they invented sex and drugs. And but here we go. Listen, this is great. This is a great song. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Bull Moose Jackson.
Got me the strangest woman. Believe me, this chick's no cinch. But I really get her going when I take out my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues.
We'll play that. I tell you what, we'll play that after midnight, because that's a great song. I only heard that the other day for the first time. It's a great song. It's just filthy. Go on, Dave.
There's also Kitchen Man by Bessie Smith, which is a similar thing, based on a female point of view, which is rather good.
There's loads of them. Loads of that filthy.
My Ding-a-ling.
Oh, My Ding-a-ling. That was what I remember being at a party in the 70s and everyone singing that.
That was your biggest hit as well, wasn't it?
Charles Berry, outrageous behaviour.
Yeah, not the worst thing he did, obviously.
No, of course, no. Installing the cameras in the ladies' toilets was the worst thing he did. Dave, thank you very much.
That we found out about.
Indeed. Did we do the break at 22? I don't remember it. I just don't remember it. I don't have a clue. Let's go to Ray. Good evening, Ray. Thank you, Dave.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Cass.
Hello, Ray. What have you got for us?
My Panath fishing thing. Huh? I got three Johnnies.
Okay.
One Valerie.
There we go.
And if you want to go down a different route, I got a Dickie for you as well.
Yeah, we're open for different names. We've only got Valerie, Johnny, John and Mary at the moment. We will take any names if you think they can. We're looking for the most popular name in pop and rock. Let's see how many Johnnies.
Well, the Johnnies are, you said the older the better. These are really old ones. There's the Glenn Miller Band, When Johnny Comes Marching Home.
Now, the name needs to be sung in the song.
It is sung in the song.
Then it's Johnny number comes 15. Marching
Home again. It's a vocal track.
Then it's number 15. Well done. What's number 16 going to be?
The Andrew Sisters. Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, oh, how Johnny, can oh, you love? Johnny.
Okay, yeah, lovely. Yes, I got it.
I think the other guy stole my thunder with the
scumbag
with the Chuck Berry one, but there is another one. Do you want Valerie by the Mellow Kings? That's a lovely tune.
You've got to sing it to me.
Valerie, my heart's on fire. Valerie, my heart's desire. And it goes on then.
You've got a voice, mate. You've got a voice.
Well, you didn't think that last week when he called me a creep and I sang Beyond the Sea.
That was awful.
But,
but this, you've improved. You've taken lessons.
I have taken lessons.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, I'll be bunking off 20 minutes early tonight. Kath will be here holding the fort.
I need to produce you. If you're not here, I'm not producing anything.
Got the Talk Radio handbook here.
Excellent.
A producer will be in studio or adjoining studio.
Yep. I'll be adjoining. I'll be next door watching First Dates.
Until
what?
The allotted time of the aforementioned program, bracket C paragraph B from the earlier section, has ended.
Right.
So this program doesn't end until 1 o'clock.
Yep.
So you will
be
here.
You'll be here till 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you'll be here till 1 o'clock.
You will be.
No. I have to leave. I've explained this. I have to leave 20 minutes early because it takes me longer to get home on the bike.
Yeah, but you'd have to be home at a certain time. You knew when you came on that it was going to take you longer.
It's not safe.
Well, we both know it's not safe. Still fun, though, isn't it?
I'll be leaving 20 minutes.
You won't.
I'll be leaving.
You won't. I'll tell the boss.
I will be leaving 20 minutes late. Early. Got me confused now. I'll be leaving 20 minutes early. Has anyone ever won an argument, right? You say, yes, you will, and I say, no, you won't, right? And has anyone ever won an argument like this? Pay attention. Go.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't.
Has anyone ever actually won an argument like that? Has anyone ever? Because that's a bold move to take. Because if the second person doesn't pick up on it, the first person is stuck with what they said. They've just reversed their position, and then the second person go,
excellent, I'm glad you come around to my way of thinking.
Thanks a lot. So you've got to be so careful with that. But I will be leaving 20 minutes early. Sorry?
You know.
No. I will be leaving 20 minutes early.
No.
Say that again?
No.
No. Say it again? Say that word, that two little letters. N-O. What does N-O spell? I'm not going to jinx you. I promise I'm not going to jinx
you. You know very well what it spells. No.
Say it again?
I don't need to say it again.
I'm not going to jinx you.
I know, because I'm not playing.
You're not playing what?
No.
Sadiq's dropped off. I was really looking forward to going to talking to Sadiq.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens.
I mean, let me call Sadiq back. Hang on a minute.
This is what happens.
Of course,
all for the sake of 20 minutes.
I've got to leave 20 minutes early. It's not
You've
like
I've got nowhere to be.
Don't talk to me like that. I've got to leave.
This is the Talk Mobile voicemail service for
an idiot. This is Sadiq. Sadiq called in and then bottled it. It's
for
okay.
Leave a message after the tone. When you finish recording, please hang up or press the hash key for more options.
All right, Sadiq. Is Ian. Lee, I've got to leave 20 minutes early.
No.
I've got to leave 20 minutes early tonight. I have, for health and safety reasons. I've risk assessed it, and the risk is high within my assessment. So I hope that's all right, Sadiq. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Let's go to my good friend, Nick. Good evening, Nick.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are your testicles hanging? Are they hanging well?
They are.
Because that's what that means.
How's it hanging?
Is that what that question means? How's it hanging? Does it mean your testicles or your penis or life?
A penis.
Your penis. All right. So how is your penis hanging down between your legs? How is that? Is it hanging
it's
nicely?
It's a very personal question.
Is it
slightly to the left, generally, but yes.
Oh, because
yes.
I thought...
Kath was a dick.
Oh, no, I thought...
Aren't your balls normally held back by your willy?
Well, not in this seat, they're not. No.
Nick has phoned up, and within seconds, we're both sexually harassing him.
I'm not.
Aren't
your balls normally held back by your willy?
That's sexual harassment.
That's if you're lying face down. Kath was a dick. Hey,
dick.
Come on.
Dirty pervert. Horny.
Don't be so silly, Kath.
That's my youngest. He now talks. He's got a deeper voice than me. Nick, I'm so sorry. We are offering counselling for anybody affected by any of the issues. If you're affected by any of the issues in tonight's show, then please call the following number.
03444991000.
That's...
So you're leaving 20 minutes early.
No, he's not.
I've got to leave.
Say in the handbook that you can leave 20 minutes early.
No.
I have to leave 20 minutes early.
And presumably you're going to be putting a bill into the show for your full amount, I assume.
For the full amount, correct, yes. Of course. So I turned up. Look at those lovers.
Not minus 20 minutes.
There's some lovers walking past the studio. Arm in arm, they're making sweet love tonight. Holding hands, looking in each other's eyes, rubbing his hands. He's warming them up. He's hoping he gets to touch her up. They are lovers, sweet, sweet lovers. He's looking in her eye, he's feeling so fine. She wants to know if he will always be mine. When I say mine, I mean hers, cause they are lovers, sweet lovers, making sweet, sweet love.
It's just two people having a conversation.
They were walking up, they had their arms around each other, actually. They actually had their arms around each other. And I'm sorry, Nick, I don't know about you, but when I see young people, young, beautiful people in love, it fills me with love. I'm a miserable old goat, but it fills me with love and joy. And on a hot day like this, imagine their naked bodies.
Oh, sweaty,
sweaty, just going at it. They so much energy, these young people. They're legal. So much energy. So much. Hours and hours. Then when it's finished, once they go back again. Beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, by the way, that sex therapist who sits in the room while you're having it off.
She's up for it, and I don't just mean that. I mean she's up for coming on the show.
She's coming on the show. And we've got some good news. Shall we tell him now? Sam, she's offered to sit in on you and your girlfriend making love and take notes. It won't be recorded. It won't be any video. There'll be no audio. She's going to take notes and come in and discuss it.
Am I paying for this, or is this a
free
session?
No, free.
Normally £200. So we're basically, we're giving you £200.
I mean, you'll have to supply the clipboard.
The what board?
Clipboard.
Clip. So sorry. So sorry.
Paper and pen.
Here we go. Could be fun. Nick. Ah, Nick's here. I forgot all about Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Hang on. Young lovers having an argument, body language changing. He's folded his arms, she's taken a step back, but not because he's threatening. They're just having an argument, the sex is off. Nick, actually happening outside this studio tonight. Actually happening where I can see it. Right thank where I can see it.
Thank goodness, in the corridor, all they can hear is Virgin Radio.
It's right in my eye line. It's outrageous behaviour. But so beautiful. Nick, what do you want, man? For God's sakes.
Stop beating around the bush.
See, I feel really, really bad now. We spoke last year about my neighbour, and he was suffering from mental problems, and he said that he wanted to kill me. I don't know whether you remember that.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Last weekend, he was arrested, unfortunately, because he kind of kicked off in the street. I wasn't there. And the police he's been sectioned. I came back from work fairly late, and the police were just leaving. And they said, oh, by the way, he's been sectioned because he's been kicking off. And we found a list of people that he wanted to kill that he'd written in his bedroom. And guess who was number one?
Donald Trump.
No, it was Boris Johnson. No.
It wasn't you, was it? No. Mate.
And I'd only taken him, because I fly as well. I took him at flying the week before. We'd been to Blackpool a couple of weeks beforehand for the day to see the circus and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd taken him to the railway to, you know, try and get his mind off it. But it's bizarre because he's never come across as being violent. And a couple of days ago, I phoned the hospital where he was at, to see if he was okay and see if it would be all right to just go and see him, just to have a chat with him.
Yeah.
So I went in to see him, and
it was like that scene in the Pink Panther where Clouseau goes to meet Herbert Lom in the Clouseau. Is it like that? Clouseau.
Not quite.
Okay.
Similar,
good.
Not quite.
Good. Good.
So I went to see him, and I asked him. I said, "Do you know what day it is?" And he said, yeah, it was July the whatever it was. And that was fine, because a week or two before, I said to him, oh, do you know what day it is? Because we were talking every couple of days, and he thought it was 2015. But he knew what day it was, but he said he didn't know why he was here. And I said, do you remember kicking off back where you lived? And he said he had absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
And I said, do you remember preparing a list? And he said, no. And I said, yeah, you prepared this list, and I was at the top of it. And he seemed to get quite agitated about that, because he just had absolutely no memory. I think deep down he's a good bloke.
Hang on a minute. I'm really sorry to interrupt. Nick, I'm really sorry. Sam, can you close that blind, please? the I don't know if you remember my hit single Young Lovers. Let's just look at them as it closes. They're having a massive argument out there, and
I could read lips, so it's very distracting. Oh dear.
Okay, so sorry. Just keep it closed for a little bit, because that was quite distracting. I'm really sorry, Nick. They're having a massive argument out there. They can probably hear us.
You're listening to Virgin Radio.
Ixnay on the others lay. Ixnay on the others lay. Go on. Sorry, this is a serious, really serious story. And
he doesn't remember the list.
Okay.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't remember the list. And they said he's never come across as being aggressive or coming across with those tendencies. The problem is, he was on heroin for a long time, and then he was on methadone. He just came off it altogether.
Yeah.
And I think what he's having is effectively drug psychosis. So he's having a psychotic episode as a result of just coming off. And he's inside, obviously now, you know, for his own protection and maybe the protection of others. And I suppose the question is, my parents think that I shouldn't have anything to do with him, but I just feel as if that's just kind of
abandoning him, really, because, like I said, I think deep down he's an all that sort of guy, but I'm not entirely sure the best way to approach it for his own benefit, because when I went to see him, he's like, oh, thanks for coming to see me, thanks for coming to see me. And I said, over the past few weeks, I've taken in, like...
telling us too much that gives away, I don't want to know who the guy is or where he is or any of this, but he got he got arrested because he was violent.
No, he was kind of kicking off in the street.
What does kicking off mean? Just shouting?
Well, I wasn't there at the time.
The reason I'm asking is because, yes, sure, when he's straight and he's clean and he's on whatever drugs they may or may not be giving him, I'm sure he's a really decent bloke. But you have to put your safety first. And who knows how serious this list is? Probably not serious at all. But then again, you do hear stories, and Kath will tell me if I'm being sensationalist or not. You do hear stories where people with some form of mental illness that means they lose who they are for a while, or people with drug addictions and mental, you know, when they do sometimes attack people who have done nothing but be friendly with them. And my concern, Nick, is for your safety.
Yeah.
Because if a guy high on drugs comes at you with a knife, worst case scenario, that's a hard, and you're not expecting it. That's a hard thing to deal with, brother.
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry, you're going to say something.
No, that's fine. Because all I want really is for the best of him, which is why I took him, to Blackpool, took him some of Voluntary on a Steam Railway, just try and take his mind off stuff for a while and show him that there was more to life than just sitting around and because what he's trying to do is process everything through his head at the moment, and he's just not capable of doing that. So when we've spoken, I said to him, right, you're not well at the moment, and he knows he's not well. I said, what you've got is a door. You need to get through that door, get well, then figure out, once you're through the door, who you are and what you want. But until you get through that door, until you get better, just concentrate on getting better.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you have a conversation with him. He listens, but he's not taking it in. He'll say, yeah. But then I say, oh, but what about this? And I said, but we've just spoken about that.
Oh, it's like I'm focused talking on to getting Catherine better. About the show. same reaction, terrible. Go on, Kath, you're going to you say something.
Well, then you can't trust that you're safe with him, can you?
You can still be friendly, you can still be helpful, but from a distance that doesn't involve travelling down to Brighton together and doesn't involve sitting in an aeroplane together.
Because he may be a nice bloke, but he's not in control of himself at the moment.
He needs to prove that he's getting better. That's what he needs to prove. Honestly, I think, help him, but by helping, it can be by, taking him a pint of milk every other morning.
Giving him a ring now and again.
Speaking over the garden fence, it can be that. I have genuine concerns for your safety in that situation. And I don't say that lightly, because I'm always, the one for going to help people who are less fortunate than us. But
imagine you were your own brother. What would you say to yourself?
Don't go anywhere near. And I'd even say, don't even go and see him in hospital, which I've only done once, and I'd kind of like to do it again because it's in a supervised environment. But I suppose the difficulty is he just doesn't realise why he's there.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to explain that. My mum doesn't realise more often than not why she's in a care home, and I've given up explaining it to her. And when she talks about my dad being alive, I've given up telling her that he's dead. And I just kind of, I don't quite jump into her fantasy world. She thinks the care home she lives in is her work. I don't quite fully jump into it, but if she starts, I'll go, how's your day been? Oh, busy day at work. I say, what have you been doing at work then? I don't try and drag her into my reality.
No, but that's the advice they give when you're dealing with people with dementia, isn't it? It's too much of a trauma, possibly, if they understand what you're saying to them, to tell them that what they think isn't real.
Yeah.
So
pull them out of it again.
Go along with it, yeah.
Visiting hospital, if you feel the overwhelming urge to do it, that's a really kind, generous thing to do. And you're right, it's a supervised environment. I would warn against offering kind of too much hope to him, in as much as that, you don't want him to see you as like this is my best friend Nick's coming in, and when I get out, Nick's going to take me out for dinner. And you don't want to have too much of that. But if it makes you feel better going and seeing him in a safe environment, then go and see him.
The thing is, with you being getting too close or getting closer, that moment, which may only be a moment, where he switches and decides that because you're the closest person, you're the person that gets it,
I'm the focus,
could be dangerous,
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course.
Nothing is going to... It is a difficult one. Nothing is going to happen, probably. Probably, right? And most people with mental illness, most people with drug addiction, they're cool people. You know, I have both. So nothing is probably going to happen. But on very, very infrequently, sometimes things happen. And I would hate it to happen to a good man like you. I'd hate it to happen to anyone, but...
And also, here's the advice... here's the advice that someone gave to me once that was really useful. That you can't help him if you are putting yourself at risk.
Yeah.
So you've got to look after the person that may survive him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, of course. And it is something when you look at it, you think, could this end up being in the paper?
Yeah.
And you think, you know, there's and because being a lawyer, you know, you analyse things and you think, is there a realistic possibility?
Hmm.
Well, you can't rule it out altogether.
No.
Nick, trust your instinct is what I'm going to say. That's my last bit of advice. Trust your instinct because you're an intelligent man. You've got a good heart and you're sensible. I'm getting all of that from you. Trust your instinct and try not to feel bad if you do less for him than you initially thought you would like to. You have done more than most people would do already.
Because it might just be a temporary thing. Once he gets through this particular period where things are unstable and he's still trying to find out what's real and what isn't, then you could be really useful afterwards. At the moment, actually, he doesn't really know whether he's coming or going sometimes, so all the work you do could be for nothing.
It is, and it's a shame, because when I went to see him, I had a bit of a cough. And when I was coughing, he was looking at me and said, "You're right, yeah, I've just got a bit of cough." But he thought there was more to it than that. And, you know, that's when you kind of really think, you know, you're really, really not well at all, which is a real shame.
No. Nick, keep in touch. Let us know how it goes, man, and look after yourself. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
There it is. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You all right over there?
Yeah.
So maybe I was wrong about Michael Jackson. Maybe Thriller is a good album. No. Because we had the... And I'm saying maybe. I'm not saying definitely. I am one of these... I'm a rarity. Can I help you? Dude just walking past. When we used to live on the Britwell Estate. 120 Monksfield Way, Slough. I lived there until I was 11. And we had net curtains, I guess, yeah. And there was always a woman who would walk past... Have I told you this?
No.
A woman who'd walk past our window, just like that. So the house is just side on, looking in. And every time my mum would go...
That'd be my mother.
Yeah. Every time my mum would go, "Oh, there's old Sideways Head." Sideways Head! Every time. Oh, there's old Sideways Head. If she walked past me now, I would recognise her. Every time. She's walking straight down the street, head turned to look in. Oh, there goes old Sideways Head.
Knows he get.
Every single time. We just had an old Sideways Head walking past the studio. We've got a window
here.
He's
going to walk back in a minute.
You've got a window, and we're going to be sat here with our fingers up. We've got two windows. One is onto the office. I'll do a little video maybe later on. So one window's onto the office and we have the blind there closed because I don't like anybody that works at this godforsaken company. And we have another window that kind of looks out into the hallway and the lifts. That's where I saw Young Lovers. I think maybe no more. Don't mean they're dead. I just think that, anyway, let's move on from that because they can hear us now. But also just random people walk past. I guess, as you say, Catherine, they really want to listen to Virgin. And we just had a guy just walk past looking, just old Sideways Head.
He did the exact same past my window as well. So
of course. Was he looking? You get it 5 seconds later.
I'm just wondering if he was looking right the entire time. If he sort of turned back and.
Maybe he's just made that way.
Maybe. Sam, we are talking about what we're going to do when I leave 20
he's
minutes early.
He's not leaving 20 minutes early.
Yes, I am.
Him he's not allowed to.
If you're going early, I'm going early.
Well, no. Because we're thinking, because Catherine will stay here. She has to, but she's refusing to. She's doing a work to rule thing. I used to think work to rule meant you would work to try and take over and rule the company.
Oh, is that not what it means? Because that's what
joking?
I've been naming for this whole time.
Are you joking?
I'm joking.
All right. Well, I only found out about 5 years ago that work to rule means you just work to the rules.
Yeah.
So you have your tea break and your lunch break and you stop dead on 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Until I was 41. Sam's only just found out. But so what we're thinking, Sam, is, well, what I'm thinking and what I'm suggesting now out loud for the first time is that you do the last 20 minutes.
Sure.
Perfect. Everyone's happy.
I'm not happy.
Well, it doesn't matter. Two-thirds of the conglomerate are happy. Mm. We just had an AGM, an anal general meeting, and you lost. All right, so...
Well, no, the listener loses.
Whoa, please don't be rude about young
talent.
I'm
not, I'm saying about...
I'm a good man for two reasons. One, I'm leaving 20 minutes early. Two, I'm giving young talent a break.
Why are you doing talent with a quote mark?
Because I don't think he's got any.
You know, he can hear.
Huh?
Sam?
Can you hear?
Yeah, I've changed my mind now, so I think I'm all right.
Okay, Sam's doing it. Sam's doing the show from... I've got to leave early.
You don't have to do it, Sam.
He does, actually. I bought you £15 worth of biscuits the other week, and I'll be honest...
Because you've eaten about £25 worth.
I've only had three.
There is biscuits.
I bought for him.
Yeah, because to replace the ones that you snaffled.
No, I bought him literally £15 worth of biscuits. I've had three of them. I bought them. I should be getting about a third of those biscuits.
Why did you buy them?
So he gave me biscuits.
No, because you'd taken his biscuits over years.
So, Michael Jackson, documentary, 03444991000. That's it. I'm one of those rare broadcasters that constantly reevaluates my thoughts, my ideas, and I'm not one of those that picks a position. Are you yawning?
Yeah.
Why?
Tired.
After 12, I tell them to
leave 20
12,
minutes early.
After 11. I'm not one of those that picks... Actually, no, we'll get it. I'm not one of those...
Was that a word, that last thing that you just...
I've got a word for you.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, fuck off. It's my word for you. I dumped that, guys, but I just...
I'm clipping that for the tribunal.
Okay.
Which is going to be very lengthy.
I think you'll find it's tribunal.
My pronunciation.
I am not one of those presenters that picks a position and then sticks with it. And attacks come from the right and I bat them off. And attacks come from the left and I bat them on. I look at the evidence. I'm evolving. Please stop yawning. This is important. This is important to me and to millions of people out there listening.
There aren't millions, either.
There are millions of people out there. I put a full stop after millions of people out there. Full stop. Listening. New sentence.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Don't swear. Don't be libelous. We have a 7-second delay. I can delete and dump and block anything.
Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roll.
I think everybody is feeling a little bit discombobulated because of the heat. I'm Ian Lee. This is Catherine Boyle.
Hello.
It's been very, very hot. Very hot. Weird day weird night last night with the thunderbolts and the thunderstorm. Weird heat today. And then the whole Boris Johnson thing and new government, it's always a strange, I don't know why I find it exciting when there's a cabinet reshuffle, because I couldn't give a stuff. I don't like any of them or know any of them, but I remember when Margaret Thatcher came in. And she built her cabinet. It was from MFI in those days. And we were kind of force-fed that it was an exciting moment.
Well, in this case, it wasn't even a reshuffle. It was just a complete rebuilding of the cabinet, wasn't it? They said it was the most... what's it called? The most changes since the Night of the Long Knives in the 60s.
You want me to do it for you? Rub it in.
No, it's fine. We'll do it ourselves. So, so everyone's a bit discombobulated. Our show started a bit late. Well done to James and Ross for carrying on doing that. But it was nice out there. It was nice. Nice to be outside doing it out there. Thank you, everyone that got angry on Twitter on our behalf. It's cool. We get paid the same. We get paid the same amount of money for less work. I'm always happy. Sometimes another presenter's show will overrun. They'll be so apologetic. And I'm always get paid the same. Absolutely not a problem as far as I am concerned. Some of you will have caught us doing the show. We started the show about 10:15 on Periscope in the office. And it's still going on Periscope right now if you go and have a look. But don't tell anybody we're not meant to do it. It's a one off. 03444991000. We got a new feature. It's called Boiling Point. What you have to do, dear listener, is you have to phone up and wind up Catherine, who's a very, very placid lady?
Woman.
What is the difference between lady and woman?
Well, would you call me a... In that case, would you call me a gentleman if I were a man?
Completely different.
It's not.
It's completely different. And if you don't know the difference... Then you're
it's fine if you're using it in a context different. Where you're talking about saying that this gentleman over here, this lady over here, fine. Yeah. But if you're using it because you think woman sounds rude or
No, okay, I'm using it because gentleman has got a cock and balls and a woman has a vagina. That's why I'm using different terms. Obvious.
Actually, that's a very old-fashioned outlook.
It's true that
2019, mate. Educate yourself.
No, I would say gentleman.
Okay. But that's fine. But some people swerve the word woman and say lady instead, and that to me sounds weird.
I'll tell you somebody who doesn't swerve the word woman. My good friend is Lisa Stansfield. I may not be a lady, but I'm all woman. Go and get us another pint, love. Lisa Stansfield.
Did ya or didn't ya?
There we go. 0344. So my good friend, compadre?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm trying to find the right...
I'd be comadre.
What did she... I don't know what she just said. What did she just say?
Compadre suggests...
Yeah, compadre.
A man.
A friend.
Comadre.
Incorrect. You're getting so hung up on gender tonight. It's 2019. It's fluid. Just go with it. Call me a girl if you want. I don't care.
Could you just keep your fluid to yourself?
Okay, I apologise for that. You know I've got issues down there. Those pipes just won't stop pumping. Gender fluid. that warranted repeating. Because it was good.
Those new pants you can get. That woman that said she wasn't going to... We were watching the telly earlier on and there was an advert for someone who said that they were a new mum and they weren't going to let a little bit of wee stop her being me.
Women's head!
She had new black incontinence pants
paper
on and
pants.
She felt all woman. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Why are you telling us that? I'm in the middle of doing a piece.
Go on.
Oh, hang on a minute. What do you want, Val?
To speak to you.
Go on then, you're speaking to me, my love. What can we do for you? This is triple bubble. This is unprecedented.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So go on then, speaky.
Just wondered how you were feeling.
Got stomachache, but I'm fine. How are you feeling, I think, is the question that you want to be asked.
So-so.
So-so. Well, so-so is better than not great.
Hmm.
Okay. Anything else, Val?
Hey?
Anything else?
I just wondered if I could get my hands on a
what?
Platinum membership card.
When the records go on sale, which will be later in the year... Then you'll be able to get one.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Val. Let's go to line two. Hello, line two. You're on the wireless.
Bonnie Wells.
Okie dokie. You got to be quicker than that, buddy. You got to be quicker than that, buddy. You got to be quicker than that. I am the fastest man on the faders. So we've got a new feature. It's called Boiling Point. You have to phone up and speak to my placid compadre, Catherine Boyle, and try and get her... You've got to try and get her angry.
I think this is an awful feature.
It's a great feature, because your name is Boyle. Boiling Point. We're going to reach... Will we reach Boiling Point tonight? If you reach Boiling Point and you get Catherine angry, you win £1,000 from Catherine's own salary.
Am I allowed to try and get them angry?
You don't win any money. Why would you do that?
Oh, so it's just to get people to come on and bully me?
Yeah. Not bully... Whoa! Hey,
I object to that. Don't throw the B word around in my presence, please. Do you know I am? I'm Ian Lee from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here 2017. And that B word was thrown around a little bit too easier. If you've been affected
too
by
easier.
Any of the, if you've been affected by any of the issues in tonight's show, then please call this number now. 0344-499-1000. That's 0344-499-1000.
You are disgusting.
They didn't hear it.
Yeah, I heard it.
You
and I
heard
can
it.
Smell it.
You heard it. They didn't hear it. Let's take a call, shall we? This is great. Hello, line one. You're on the wireless.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Dad.
You want to go for a ride?
Jump in. I'm a Bobby girl in the Bobby world. Life is lasting. It's fantastic. You can put my hair and let me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
Come on, Bobby, let's go party. Come on, Bobby, let's go party.
Oh, I'm having so much fun.
Well, Bobby, we're just getting started.
Oh, I love you, Kevin. I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through it. Didn't know how lost I was until I found you.
This is a great talent.
I was bent, incomplete.
Yeah.
I've been hurt. I was sad, blue, but you made me feel. Yeah, you made me feel shiny and new, like a virgin. Touched for the very first time, like a virgin.
Okay. Steve Allen was slagging you off, said that, you were an embarrassment on the chase, Ian, and a dead loss on losing. If anyone actually saw the chase and my appearance on there, you'll know that Steve Allen's talking out of his little old ringer, because that's completely the opposite of what happened. I was the only one that got any of the answers right.
First of all, I have no idea who this person is. Second of all, I look forward to seeing them on the chase. Oh, hang on.
I look forward to seeing them on Channel 5's Fives Company from 1996, which is what they were on. Oh. Yeah, line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello. That singing was beautiful, that's all I have to say.
It was beautiful. You're absolutely right. It was beautiful singing. We've got some really talented listeners. So if you want to call up and see if we can reach Catherine's boiling point.
Think you should keep your fingers to yourselves.
Okay, well, fingers don't have to be involved in this. It's just words. Then 0344 499 1000. Good evening, line three.
Evening. Good evening.
Yes.
How far from your destination are you?
I would say about 36 years.
Okay. And what's your destination?
Happiness.
Fair enough. Why happiness?
Why does anyone choose their destinations? That's the destination I've chosen. If indeed we do choose them ourselves, maybe they are handed to us. How far are you away from your destination, brother?
61 miles.
Thanks very much indeed for your call. Let us go to, let's go to line four. Four, you're on the wireless.
You all right, mate? Just wanted to try and have a go at getting Catherine on the boiling point.
Here we go. What's your name, friend?
My name's Malcolm.
Malcolm, great name, the name of my late father, yeah. And also the name of many, many Malcolms who've trodden before you. Away you go.
Right. Just want to say, Catherine, I don't know who you are, but you sound like not a nice person. I put that A into you. And that, I think Catherine should be doing the ironing right now.
When are you going to start? Your time has started. When are you going to start trying to get her angry, Malcolm?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. It's a complicated game. It's a complicated game.
That was feeble.
Was that his attempt?
I think it might have been.
Wow.
I'm not a nice person, Malcolm.
That's right.
True.
She's a B1 TCH.
And
a bunch.
Yeah. A bunch.
And spells. Ian, yeah, it's fine. You can prefer whoever you like. And I don't do the ironing. I've got a great big pile of it.
I do actually beg your pardon. So sorry. I've got terribly upset stomach here today.
If I could trust you with an electrical appliance, which I wouldn't, I would ask you to do it for me.
Let's do it with a bit of imagination. Don't just phone up and say rude things.
Misogynistic stuff.
It's a little bit lazy. Let's try.
It did feel a little bit, not even sixth form, it did feel a little bit schoolyard, that, didn't it?
Got trapped hair there. Me, not you. It did feel, I would say that was a very poor opening gambit.
It was barely a tickle.
Yeah. Here's what I would say to get Catherine this is how I would start. Your taste in music's crap. Your car's crap.
Mm-hmm.
Some days you smell. That's how I'd start. And then
I would say, who hurt you?
Okay, right. You see, she's a tough cookie. This is going to be a tough game.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000, former snooker world champion Neil Robertson. I don't know snooker players anymore. Snooker people and darts people were the only sports people that I could sort of name a few of. John Parrott, Terry Griffiths, Ray Reardon, the people like that.
The classic lineup.
The classics. I don't know Neil Robertson, but he's a former snooker world champion. Good for him. Was left red-faced this week after his lack of history knowledge left him at the mercy of fans on Twitter.
What's that noise?
I can hear a voice.
New fans and new cultures. Is your computer on? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is that? Where is that coming from? What window have I got open? Oh, it's a little pop-up video. That's clever. That's clever how they did that. I didn't know it was there. Very quiet, though.
Mm-hmm.
The former snooker world champion Neil Robertson was left red-faced this week after his lack of history knowledge left him at the mercy of fans on Twitter. The 37-year-old took to the social media platform to give his opinion after completing HBO's hit series Chernobyl.
Right.
Fall off. The series covers the horrific events of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant disaster that occurred on the 26th of April 1986 at the number 4. Nuclear reactor, and has quickly become an international sensation. Like many others, Robinson admitted he found the series fantastic. I'm going to read the tweet. Just finished watching Chernobyl. Wow, that was fantastic. Had no idea it was actually true until the end clips. Had no idea it was actually true until the end clips.
It happened in his lifetime.
No.
How old is he?
No.
36, he said.
37.
Yeah.
Well, he was 3. But also, Jesus was around before I was born. I've heard of that fella.
It was quite a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Brought up in Australia.
Right.
And living in the country until the age of 21, Robertson tried to play down his naivety by insisting the subject was neither taught to him at school or spoken about generally.
Yeah.
Some of the responses, however, range from the comical to the flabbergasted. You should try Titanic, mate. It's a bit far-fetched for a film, but a great watch. Oh, and some of these are quite rude.
What, from Twitter? Yeah. You don't say.
Do you feel the same after Schindler's List? Added another. Unsure whether Robertson would recognise that this iconic film was also based on true events. Many others found the funny side, and on and on and on it goes. In fairness to Robertson, the tweet remained published and the man himself attempted to explain his lack of historic knowledge on the subject.
Never explain.
Never explain, never apologise. When told he'd had a shocker, Robertson replied, "Why is that? Was never talked about in school in Australia. I've certainly never heard anyone talk about it since I've been living here." We don't talk about it all the time. 37-year-old, okay, fine. We've got 3 calls. I think one of these is a prank.
No? Sam's saying no. All right, fine. Let's go to Tony. Good evening, Tony.
Hey, all right?
I'm all right, Tony. Yeah, how are you doing?
Listen, I really don't mean to annoy Catherine, but at some point over the next month when nobody's in, I am going to go into your house, move all the furniture around in your living room to a way that just doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Probably move things around in the kitchen cupboards, like, and when you go to get something, it's in the wrong place.
Kitchen
and
cupboards.
Then, as a killer, probably mix you and your husband's clothes together in the wardrobe and drawers.
Right.
That's actually terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking
there's not very much room to move anything in my house at the moment, so you'd probably be trapped there under something quite heavy.
Tony, have you ever done this before? Have you ever actually done this? Because this is a very, very intricate plan of torture.
My wife does it to me all the time. I come home and I actually move the furniture around. And I just, it drives me mental for about 2 weeks.
I haven't moved the furniture around in the place that I've lived in since I was 8, and I would move the bed around in my bedroom like every couple of weeks to try and make it a little bit bigger. But since then, I've not moved anything. Where it lands, that's where it stands.
What's wrong with you, Catherine?
I'll tell you the last thing that was moved into my house that actually drove me a little bit nuts, but only because it made me think I was going mad. Was I went to get some bread out of the bread bin, and
bread bin.
Yeah,
is this the 1800s?
Yeah, I couldn't find it, bread and I knew bin. That what I had half a loaf bread in bread there bin. The day before. I bought a nice loaf of bread, right, with olives in it.
Olive bread.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm flashy like that, and then I couldn't find it, and I knew there was half a loaf left, and it was good, and I'd been looking forward to it all day, and I couldn't find it. And do you know where I found it? I found it in the food recycling bin. You know why?
Why?
Because my husband thought it'd gone mouldy. Oh. He saw the bits in it. So, luckily, there was nothing else in there, so I whipped it out.
So sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Tony sounds genuinely concerned.
I mean, it's a crappy thing to do to someone.
Tony, thank you very much for that. Let's go.
I think Tony was being a bit snide then.
Good evening, Raheem.
Good evening, Ian. So, I was just thinking, remember that t-shirt you've got that had Catherine's face all over it?
Yeah, I've still got it. I wear it sometimes when I'm feeling lonely.
Oh, God.
I was thinking, why stop at a t-shirt?
I was thinking, why stop at her face?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you see, have you ever thought about doing it on a bodysuit, trousers, underwear, or even a car?
Can someone find this on Twitter, right? Someone posted me a picture a while ago, or maybe Shane Ritchie posted it, of a car covered in Shane Ritchie's.
Yeah, why not do the same thing for Catherine?
What, a car covered in, car covered in Catherine's?
Yeah, like what you got on your t-shirt.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea,
the thing is,
right?
It wouldn't be embarrassing for me, it'd be embarrassing for him driving it round, wouldn't
no,
it?
No, but I drive you to gigs and stuff quite a lot. I'll be driving you to Bath
can't
soon.
See it from inside, can I?
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, you could do it to her car as well, just get someone to come in while she's at work.
And put pictures of me on. This is beautiful, I love it.
Exactly.
Raheem, are you coming to see us in Belfast this Saturday?
Unfortunately not, but I am looking to come to a rabbit hole in the future.
We're coming, hopefully. Well, hang on, you're in Southampton, we're coming to Bath.
To Bath?
To Bath.
Bath.
When?
In September.
In September?
Saturday, September the 7th, I happen to know, because I looked at the date today.
September the 7th, okay, I'll look into that, yeah.
Well,
I was going to come to the Brighton one, actually, but something, you know, things came up.
Yeah, you fell asleep. Come to the Bath one, Raheem.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do it.
How much are tickets?
Fortunes.
Oh, they're too much for you. I don't know. It's like a tenner or something.
Tenner? Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay.
You're really trying to find an excuse to not come, and it's not going to be that.
No, not at all.
Let me just have a look. Tickets are £15.
Okay, that's good.
Well, now it's more expensive. Now it's definitely coming. It's a two-hour show, Raheem.
Yeah, I know. I listened to it on the podcast. It was really good. I don't even want to come.
Thank you very much, anyway. Well, Raheem, we're looking forward to seeing that. If you're coming to Belfast this Saturday, there's still tickets left.
Just a few, yeah.
Just a few.
Just
a few.
A few dozen.
It's about 100. But if you want to get them, they are £11, two-hour show with an interval. That is 2 hours plus an interval. Don't think
we'll treat you like a lady.
We are not including any of the showtime in the interval. And then we stick around afterwards and shake hands and say hello and stuff like that. So if you want to come, ianlee.com. /event. IanLee.com/event. Let's go to Dave, and then we'll go to Nigel. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Kath. Good evening, Ian.
Good evening. Dave. I'm just saying we're going to go to Nigel in a minute. That will give him time to go and walk into whichever room it is, gets a phone signal. Because normally it doesn't, no,
walk
Nigel.
In any room, walk in any room that hasn't got a phone signal.
Yes, exactly. Yes, David, what can we do for you on this wonderful, wonderful Boris Johnson special?
Well, I'm coming to Belfast, so, you know.
Yeah, he's coming to Belfast. And as are the hosts of that Beatles podcast that I tried to download today.
One of them, the other is his birthday, is his excuse that he wants to spend it with his family.
Screw him, yeah, he's a loser, he's a scumbag.
Those guys, how long has he known him? Cut the cord.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I said, you've got your family the rest of the year, what do you want to spend
the podcast,
one day on?
The podcast, our podcast has not been updated on CastBox yet. I've been told by the guy that's in charge of the podcast, if you're still having trouble getting the late night alternative, unsubscribe and subscribe. Still doesn't work on podcast. He then told me something about copying an RSS feed and then loading it into CastBox. And I went, yeah, whatever. But one thing you must not do, because I was told I had to stop doing it. You must not at him in tweets. I got told off today and was told not to at the guy in charge of the podcasts, to not to at him in tweets, because it was not the way things were done, and I should email him. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, we've had this problem for 2.5 weeks, and it didn't start to get sorted until I tweeted. But okay, point taken. So please don't at that guy. That's not me doing reverse psychology. Don't, because I don't want another rollicking, just because I want our show to be heard by as many people as possible. That's all. Dave!
Feeling fairly rotten today, so... can I talk about something good?
Yes, you can. I'm just retweeting two tweets. One is from Krista and one is from Gareth. Go to my Twitter feed and have a look at a lady with the Shane Ritchie car. A lady with the Shane Ritchie car. Oh, and now I'm being told by Lely, I think it is, you can get suitcases with people's faces on. Have you seen that?
Yeah, wow. I've seen those.
I want a boily case. Go on, Dave, you can talk
Fill
about anything.
Fill my face.
You can talk about anything you want. Go on, what do you want?
Don't overpack it.
Okay, when you two guys are still flirting, maybe we can get on with the show. Come on, I'm here, guys. Phil Gooseberry. David.
Okay, so in 1999, I ended up in a clinic for breakdown, whatever.
Okay, what we would used to call... a place for nut jobs. Is that? Have I,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. We would not house. Yeah. That's it. Of course, we would never use that terminology today. I'm just saying how vicious the late 90s were.
When I got out, I mean, the thing I went in there mostly for was anxiety in general, agoraphobia. Yeah. So one thing I wanted to do was go to gigs because I'm quite interested in music, as you might have picked up.
Yes.
And it was about, I remember ending up at Reading Festival in the middle of the mosh pit for Blur and stuff like that. It was a rather hardcore recovery I went through. I just threw myself in the deep end.
Yeah.
But nearer Christmas, I heard someone on the radio, and I liked what she played, and I went to see her in London. Catherine Williams, the singer-songwriter, don't you know her?
I've heard of the name. She spells Catherine with a Y, doesn't she?
Yeah, Catherine with a Y, yeah.
I've seen her name written down at the very, very least.
Yeah, and so I went to see her live show, and it was one of those things where you hear something on the radio, and go, wow, yeah, that's something. And I went to her gig at the 12 Bar, which doesn't exist anymore, I think they've got rid of the 12 Bar.
All right, Grandad, get up. Stop being upset about Denmark Street closing down. Get on with it.
And I thought it was a brilliant gig, and I slipped the... I bought a beer for the guy who was rather sound desk and got a copy of the gig off him.
David, please, what a naughty, naughty young man. Okay.
And so that was good. That was about 20 years ago. I've got to know Catherine over the years, going to her gigs and whatever. And a couple of years ago, she decided to put together a box set of her career, and she asked for stuff that, you know, anyone had got. I bought out this CD and various things I bootlegged, and the box set's out next month. And
how much of your stuff is in there?
It's about three tracks from there.
Hey, that's all right, isn't it?
That I recorded, yeah.
Hey, that's incredible!
Which is a bit weird. I'd say it might be similar to, well, in a smaller way to, you know, you ended up putting out Monkeys records.
Yeah, no, that, hey, listen, man, that is, it's a wonderful feeling to help or contribute to an artist that you really like to their catalogue. It's a joyous feeling, isn't it?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.